Thank you, sir. I'm glad you're here tonight. It is a good place to be on Monday night, isn't it? I can think of a lot of worse places. So I'm glad you're here. Open your Bible to Exodus chapter 20, if you would. Exodus chapter 20. And every Bible student's already going wacky, because you know the Ten Commandments are there and you're wondering what that's got to do with stewardship. I won't be long, but we're going to look at some financial principles that are essential to correcting your financial distress. And we'll bounce a few of them off of the Ten Commandments. I'm not going to hurry. I don't do that anymore. I was in a meeting I won't be long, but I'm not going to hurry. We were in a meeting a couple of weeks ago, maybe three, and a number of preachers preaching, and a young preacher got up to preach. He's at his first church and had attained the knowledge of the world. And a good preacher, really, just a very charismatic, knowledgeable young man. And he began to preached a good sermon. And about 10 or 12 times in the sermon, because he had an assigned time, because there were several preachers, he said, "I must hurry," 8 or 9 or 10 times. But he never did. And it'd just be better not to hurry and try not to say so much. It works better that way. But I've been thinking, and that's unusual for me. And, you know, some of you have been listening to me for 12 or 13 years. And some of you are doing what I encourage you from the Bible to do about your giving. And you're still in the same mess you've been all the time. See, giving is not some magical something that suddenly corrects all of your difficulties. There's more to it than that. It's not some magical fact. You have to get your finances in order. You have to do some particular Bible things. And then you'll find that everything straightens out. So I want us to look at maybe in the next three nights, the Lord willing, 10 financial principles to help you get your finances straightened out. Number one principle, write them down, not going to repeat them. Thou shalt honor the Lord first. Thou shalt honor the Lord first. I did repeat it. Exodus chapter 20 and verse 3, look at it. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. See? And when it comes to our finances, just like the Ten Commandments, you must put God first. We talked about it at length last night. See, that's not all there is, and just giving is not enough. 10% of your income is not enough. A lot of folks give 10% of their income, but God's not first. They spent a whole lot more on something else. And so you honor God. You put God first, you see. And why does God do that? Why does He lay that 10% on us? You think He needs the money? No, it's not for Him. It's for us. It's to get us into that first fruits thing. Let me read you something that you'll be very familiar with. I think I can find it here in just a minute. In Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 9, you could quote it, I know that, but I'm going to read it to you. Listen very carefully. Proverbs 3:9. Honor the Lord with thy substance and with the what? First fruits of all thine increase. See, now, so He's after something? No. Read verse 10. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. That 10% thing is not for God, it's for us. It's to get us to put God first. We spoke last night about Elijah and the widow. It's a wonderful example of it, and we're not going to redo that thing. But in 1 Kings 17, 8, he just required her to put him first. Make me first. And you know she did. Had that little bit of meal, a little bit of oil on the cruise. But she made him a cake. And 3 years and 6 months passed. No rain, no harvest. And she and he and her house did eat. It's an amazing story, you know. She had every need cared for. And if she had counseled with a banker, he would have told her, you're crazy, and whoever told you to do that's crazy. But when God speaks to you about putting him first, it's not. He doesn't need the attention. It's for me and it's for you, and we need to understand that. It's not just finances either. You see, get your children also. They get involved in it. The widow's son was given life back. He was alive because she put God first. That's the only reason. If God just appeared to you tonight, I mean, just actually appeared to you, and said unto you, if you'll give me 10%, I'll stand at your door and keep the devil off of you. Matter of fact, if you'll just give me 10%, I'll see that you end up with more than you've ever had before. If God just appeared to you and said that, would you do it? Yeah, well, he did. You might have missed him. You may not have seen him, but he did it. He's there. Let me read something to you from Malachi, your favorite chapter, chapter 3. Malachi chapter 3. Listen very carefully to it. God is speaking. And in verse 10, he said, bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house, and prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you up the windows of heaven, open you the windows of heaven, and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. Pour you out a blessing. And I will rebuke the devourer for your sake. Who's the devourer? It's the devil. And he shall not destroy the fruits of your ground, neither shall your vine cast her fruit before time in the field, said the Lord of hosts. Goes on and on and on. And that's just God's word, you know. So what he's saying is, I'll stand at your door and guard you. I'll take care of the devourer, and I'll let you make more than you've ever made. I'll just see to it. See, you know, if God appeared to you and said that to you, could I tell you a man or a woman, a boy or girl would be foolish to turn that offer down? I think it would be sort of a spirit of stupidity to say, well, you know, I'd do that if I could afford to. No. I mean, you do it no matter what, you see. So principle number one, thou shalt honor the Lord thy God first. No other gods before him. And principle number two, thou shalt not try to acquire happiness by material things. Thou shalt not try to acquire happiness by material things. A lot of Baptists got some idols, you know it? A lot of idols. I mean, they buy things to make them happy. Look at verse 3 of Exodus 20. Thou shalt not make thee unto thee any graven image, or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth below, or that is in the water under the sea. Idols, images. You know, you cannot look to those things for happiness. Right? All we Baptists know that. But we say, you know, if I just had a bigger house, I believe I'd be happy. Or if I just had a better car, or if I just had the car I really want, then I believe that I would be happy. And you know the worst thing of all, the worst idol we have in our Baptist churches, if I just had his wife or her husband, I'd be happy. That's idol worship. That's not going to bring you happiness. May bring you something, all right, but it won't be happiness. You need to understand that. Thou shalt not try to acquire happiness by material things. It doesn't matter whether it's a little or a lot. You put God first. Let him take first place. But all of us have our hearts set on just one more thing, don't we? Oh, come on. Help. I mean, just if I could just have that one thing. And it don't have to be a big thing, or it could be a small thing. You got the new house. Can't hardly pay for it, but you got it. You got a nice patio on the back. And you get to thinking one day, and you begin to talk to your wife. You say, honey, you know, there's just one thing we need. She said, what is it? I said, we need a barbecue pit out there on that patio. That would satisfy us forever. She said, you're right. Get the credit card and go get us one. And so you go down to Home Depot and you leave owing $300, $400, $500 more than you owed. And you get your barbecue pit back, you get it set up, you grill the steaks, and everything is so wonderful. And you're so happy. And you get to looking around and you call your wife. And you said, honey, we're going to have some patio furniture now. So get the card and you go back just so you can be happy. And you get you some patio furniture. And now you're sitting out there grilling your steaks, looking out across the backyard. I mean, the steaks are smelling good. The furniture is so comfortable. This was what was going to make you so happy. And you say, honey, come here. The neighbors on both sides have a swimming pool. All we need to be happy is a swimming pool. And it goes on and on. And could I tell you there's no end to it till you just stop it? Listen to what the wise man said in Proverbs 27:20. Hell and destruction are never full. I've quoted that 1,000 times, I guess. I never did quote the rest of it. So the eyes of man are never satisfied. You're not going to get enough stuff to look at that'll satisfy you. It's just not going to happen. It's just in us, you see, that only God can give us happiness. There's no happiness in stuff, so stop the impulse buying if you want to get things right economically with God. You know. Matter of fact, most things you want to buy, if you just wait a while, it'll pass. It's like indigestion. You know. Just wait. You can find out you can live without it, and you're just as happy without it as you can be, you know. We've got some good heritage for this kind of stuff. That bunch wandering around in the wilderness, griping and murmuring because they didn't have anything to eat. And so God sent them manna, heavenly bread. It must have been good stuff. And they were just so happy until they got to chewing on it, and they chewed on it a few days and said, we need some meat. And so God sent them some meat. And it's an amazing thing. It's an amazing thing. They were complaining then while the meat was still in their mouth, while they were still chewing it. They started complaining about something else they needed. You know? It won't make you happy, so just give it some time, and it will pass. You can get over it. You won't need to worry about it anymore. Number three. Principle number three to get your finances straightened out. Thou shalt not be unthankful for the standard of living that God is providing for you. Thou shalt not be unthankful for whatever standard of living God has provided for you. Look at Exodus 20 and verse 7. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. That's interesting. Someone said, well, I don't cuss. It didn't say thou shalt not cuss, did it? What did it say? Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. Now lost folks, the way they do it is by cursing. Saved folks do it differently, you see. You get a saved person who is selfish and they become vain. And then they start praying for stuff. And they start using the Lord's name in vain. Lord, I just need that bigger house. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, Lord. In Jesus' name. you know, and over and over and over and over again. And it's vanity, it's selfishness, it takes God's name in vain. Somebody said, why? Because Matthew 6 is very plain. He already knows what we need. Didn't he say that? Let's check it out. Look in Matthew chapter 6. It'll help you to use your Bible. You need some exercise. Everybody in the world is sick. You exercise, keep them getting sick. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 31. Therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things the Gentiles seek. Listen now. For your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of these things. Now, someone's going to say, and get on my case about it, they're going to say, but the model prayer teaches to pray for our needs. I know it. One time will do it. God's not hard of hearing. Let me ask you a question about prayer, just to mess with us. If you pray an answerable prayer, when do you think God's going to answer it? If you've studied the Word, you'll find out that most of them that prayed answerable prayers, they were answered instantly. Now, you read about that one in Daniel. It got held up in traffic. But God answered it instantly. The angels got into it. But if you pray an answerable prayer, God doesn't want you to... God's not trying to make a beggar out of you. You're a child. And if you're the right kind of parent and your child asks you for something, you either provide or say, never. You're not going to get it. Okay. So then when they keep coming at me, please, Dad, please, Father, please, Daddy, they're telling me, you don't know what you're doing. You don't know what's good for me. That's what some kids telling me. And that's what we're telling God. And it takes His name in vain when we continually do that over the same old thing. And we're unthankful for the standard of living He's provided us with. We're trying to change that through Him. This is something you just Google. Everybody's Googling. Google this. Do you know that the citizens of America live better than 3/4 of the entire world do? And we murmur and complain about it and are never happy and never satisfied and always spending more money, always going off, always unthankful. And it leads you into some terrible things. Unthankfulness is a horrible sin. I really want you to turn. Look at Romans 1:21. 1:21, please. We're going to look at a couple of verses. Romans chapter 1, verse 21. And, of course, this is one of those chapters when you open it, when you say Romans 1, everybody thinks about one thing, right? Well, there's more in there than just the homos. Look at verse 21. Because that when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were, what's the word? Thankful. We're coming down to the root of all of those sins. Unthankfulness. Vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. He said because they were unthankful, they went into deception. Are you okay?
Yeah.
They went into deception. Now, turn on over to 2 Timothy 3 and verse 1. And we're going to read a list that is just, it's a knockout list. You don't want on this list. 2 Timothy 3:1. You need to watch it very, very carefully. 2 Timothy 3:1. This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. Okay, we're all right with that, right? We know that. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents. What's the word? I'm thankful. You want on that list? Do you want on that list with that bunch? Wait a minute. Unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good. We're going to get down to why it's not they're unthankful. Traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure, trying to find happiness because they're very unthankful for what God has given them. And it makes them into that kind of a person. See, unthankfulness opens the door to all kind of sin. I mean, read the list. Everything that's mentioned is sin. And unthankfulness opens the door for it. Always has, always will. And what you and I must get in the practice of giving thanksgiving for what we have and being thankful for what we have, you see. If you know, the mismanagement of finances creates a lot of problems. If you've ever had to study marriage counseling, if there be any such thing, most of them always say, now, the number one problem in marriages that are in trouble, number one is a communication problem. And I say, baloney. It's a money problem. Now, they may be having communication over the money, but it's a money problem. See, mismanagement of money causes all kind of marriage problems. Mismanagement of money causes all kind of emotional problems. You get to where you hate the mailman. You don't want the phone to ring. Mismanagement of money, emotional problems. You get depressed. Can't pay your bills. Mismanagement of money, number three, causes physical problems. It'll make you sick if you've got any kind of man about you at all. Number four, unthankfulness for what you have will make you mad at God. And you'll get angry with God, you see. Just because you can't pay your bills, it's not God's fault. It's not God's problem. He didn't make the bills. He provided all your needs and you added the credit. Okay, amen. I'll do my own amen. I was going to get through early, but I have to do my own amen, and it's going to take a while. Now, I want you to understand something. There is no overnight solution. But listen carefully. Peace and joy come quickly. The financial solution takes a little while. That's just the way it works, you see. You got a car note more than your house note? Sell it. Say, I'm going to lose money on it. Sell it. Say, well, I'm upside down in it. I know, more ways than one you're upside down. It's amazing how many people driving something ain't worth what they owe on it. Not worth half what they owe on it. And I don't know how to tell you this, but they're not real tickled about it. It didn't bring a whole lot of happiness once it settled in on them. And we need to understand it. See, that car was an idol. Had to have it. That's the one that had that. I'd be happy. That's the one that'd make me happy. You say, well, now, you're someone to be talking. You drive a real nice car. My car's 8 years old. Got over 200,000 miles on it. I'm just saying we buy a lot of stuff we don't need. Ain't nothing wrong with having nice stuff if you can afford it. If you can't afford it, you buy old nice stuff. Yeah. Get your finances in order. If I owed money on a car and I was in financial trouble, I'd put that dude off on somebody. And I'd hitchhike till I could get me enough money together to buy me a $400 or $500 junkie out there to get me back and forth to work. And I'd get that mess straightened out. See? Here's what you do. You want to get your finances in order? I'll just give you a little quick and I'm through. Don't buy anything else that's not a necessity. And Bubba, that'll cut out almost all of it. Don't buy anything else That's not a necessity. Look right up here at me. No more eating out. Don't lay this stuff on me. Well, you know, if it's just two of us, we can eat out as cheap as we can eat in. Not pinto beans and taters and cornbread, you can't. It's going to cost you about $25 if you're an honest man with your tip, and you go feed yourself and your wife anything. I can feed you a bunch of good meals on $25. Huh? No more eating out. No more entertainment. No more movie rentals to take home. No smartphones with added fees on them. Someone said, "Oh, I couldn't do without it." You did for nearly all your life. You don't need that. You don't have a bit of use in the world for it. You know what? I don't get aggravated more than 3 or 4 times a day. But every time I go in a cell phone store, I get aggravated. I said, I'm due for an update. Fine, what do you want? I said, I'd like a telephone. They said, well, what do you want to do? I said, I'd like for it to make telephone calls. I said, we don't have any of those. I swear. You know, that's almost as bad. I went to Wanda's been nagging me. She has. For a new Bible. And I think that's a wonderful thing to nag about. And so I said, sure, we will get one. Well, we happened to be out on the west side of town, so I whipped into Lifeway Bookstore. Yeah. There on the one by the seminary. The old one there by the seminary. And we walked in just as happy as we could be, going in a Christian bookstore, going to buy us a new Bible. And so we asked, I hadn't been in there in years, and so we asked a person that worked there, said, where are your Bibles? He said, right over here, come, I'll show you. And he got over there, and that's the biggest, he said, what kind of Bible do you want? I said, well, we'd like a good devotional Bible, just for devotional reading, King James. Well, we don't have any of those. I promise you that's what he told me. I said, well, we don't need any of those. And we walked out. They don't have a thing to do with what I'm preaching, but see, I'm still mad about that, and that was a month ago. I wish you'd get mad about it and quit giving them your money and find you some little country bookstore somewhere where they stock real Bibles. Get over it. No more smartphones. No more clothes when you've already got more than you can wear. Some of you have 3 sets, depending on what size you are at that particular time. No more clothes buying. Okay. I'm talking about now the folks got their finances messed up. Now listen, if you have more money than you can ever spend and you're doing exactly what God wants you to do with what you have, then you spend your money any way you want to. I'm honest. I'm just sincere. If you've got all the money you can ever spend and you are doing what God wants you to do with what you have, then you just do with whatever you want to with the rest of it. But until you get your finances in order, get serious, and I want to promise you something, when you get serious about it, God will get serious about it. He'll be right there with you. Let God be in charge of your finances. We're going to talk about it more tomorrow night and get into some very practical stuff. But if you want to have a breakthrough in your finances, you want to see it turned around, you want to see your finances where you can obey God no matter what He says financially, it's going to take 2 things. It's going to take faith, number one, and work, number two. Okay? All right. Then work. Get your finances in order. Find peace and joy. Get your physical comfort back. Get your marriage straightened out. Get life on an even keel. Bow your head, please. Every head's bowed and every eye's closed, and Christians are praying. Just a few financial commandments. Just put God first. Don't have any graven images. Don't look for happiness in things. I don't care how much stuff you get. It will not satisfy you. How long's it been since you got with God in a quiet time and just said, "Dear Lord, I want to thank you for the deep satisfaction that's in my life. How satisfied I am with where I am in my life." Need to work on it. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the simplicity of it. Be with us tonight now in these final moments and help those who are struggling to put you first. Help those who are struggling to realize that all that stuff they've accumulated is not going to make them happy. Help us just to get our finances in order and obey you. In Jesus' name, amen. Standing together, we begin to sing. The altars are open. You might need to come do some business with God tonight. He'll meet you here if you'll come.